I'm Lou Conran.
And I am Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who've been known to enjoy an alcoholic beverage or 10 over the years, sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that we know nothing about the drinks that we love to quaff, and that, unbelievably, there will be some types of liquor out there that we are not acquainted with.
And as we hate missing out, we thought we'd invite some celebrity pals to recommend their go-to tipple and drink along with us while we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdict if we are going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it so you don't have to.
And it's definitely not just an excuse to open up the drinks cabinet on a Monday night.
Heaven forbid.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Amazon Business honors Jill Lau, Chief Procurement Officer of Global Network Bank. Last week, Jill saved big and used Amazon Business to help her team buy 327 headsets. Now Bob can keep his conversations to himself.
Wait, am I still on speakerphone?
With business buying easier than before, Jill now uses her extra time to focus on growing something big. Buy smarter, dream bigger. Visit Amazon Business, your partner for smart business buying.
Thank you for holding.
Hang it up, Bob.
Sally?
Louise?
What are you doing on the 10th of September 2021 at 9:30 p.m?
Oh, I'm doing a live podcast record with you as part of the London Podcast Festival.
Gosh, isn't that strange? Because I was going to say to you that I was going to do the podcast festival as well with you on the 10th of September at 9:30 p.m. at the King's Place in London.
As part of the podcast, London Podcast Festival.
And also,
I don't know if you know this, but you can get your tickets at kingsplace.co.uk.
Sorry, where was that?
kingsplace.co.uk.
Oh my goodness.
Friday, 10th of September, 9:30 p.m.
Will there be a fabulous celebrity guest?
Yes, there will be.
Will there be you and me?
Yes.
Oh.
In our jumpsuits, probably.
Probably.
With
yes.
with a drink of choice from the guest. We don't know what that is yet.
With an audience some fabulous people, which will be these people listening now.
Yeah. Oh, kingsplace.co.uk, part of the London Podcast Festival.
Yeah, I'll see you on September the 10th then at 9:30 in King's Place in London.
See you there.
Okay.
How's your week been, girl?
Well, it's been a little bit fraught, Sally, because I had some acupuncture the other day. So I've got very tight ligaments in my legs. And the physio that did my acupuncture, I say physio slash very good friend of mine, told me that she thought that I had club feet.
Lovely. Lovely. I can picture them.
Thank you. So I've had a very disturbing week where I'm like, and then she sent me pictures of calipers and stuff like that. So it's been
an interesting week for you.
Yes.
Shall I tell you about mine? Shall I tell you about
No. Go on then.
Okay. Well, I saw you yesterday for starters.
Yes,
we did a festival together.
We drank a lot of wine, didn't we?
Yes, yeah. And then and I'm currently in Guernsey. We've said this already on the podcast that we've
The room that Sally is in, it looks like a brothel. There's a mirror above the bread.
There's a bread machine.
I've had a lot of wine.
Yes, she has. But we had an amazing guest who we're about to introduce.
My goodness. Paul Chahidi was just the most, it was like spreading butter on toast, wasn't it? It was a joy. And What a lovely, lovely man. He was just so brilliant, so charming, so cute,
charismatic.
So funny. Oh, yeah. What a brilliant man.
Shall we have a listen?
Yes. Lovely, lovely, lovely Paul. I mean, I've said lovely so many times now, I'm making myself feel a little bit ill. What is your drink of choice this evening, please?
Well, Lou and Sally, I brought a Creuse Hermitage, I think it's called, from M&S. It's a red. It's a Northern Rhone wine. That's what it says on the label.
What does that mean?
I've quite often bought this. Well, it's from the Rhone Valley in France, ooh, but the northern bit.
Right.
And as you'll see, it's half empty because I tried some last night.
Oh, well done. Good. Well done.
Researching the podcast.
Yes,
obviously, exactly. That's what you were doing.
Yes. Checking.
Exactly. Yeah. So I often get Cote d'Aron. I don't know about you, if I'm getting a red, because I find them incredibly reliable. And you can get them at all kind of price ranges from, you know, £6 up to whatever, you know. And I find
20,
them all
30.
Yeah, 20 or 30. What was this? I think this was about 14 quid from M&S. And I often get it from Tesco and it's about £8 or £9, similar thing.
Well, I've got a different bottle to you, but it's the same. It's the same.
That's one I often get. Do you get that from Sainsbury's?
Yes, I did, Paul.
Yes,
so, see, you've shopped around for your wine.
Yeah,
I've got the M&S one from the shopper, from the M&S, well, from M&S, funnily enough, in Guernsey. Mine was £12. And I was thinking, why is mine cheaper? Then I remembered, no VAT in Guernsey, hey? There we go.
Oh, she's just showing off that she's abroad.
Oh,
I've got a bit of cork wedged in the end of mine, like a slice of it.
Like I think that will be fine. I think that'll just add to the character of the wine.
Paul, can I ask, have you always been this? You sound like the sort of person that is quite a glass half full person. Because even then, Lou was like, I've got a bit of cork. And I immediately went, oh, well, that's fucked it. And you went, I think that will add to the wine. I think you must be that sort of person that always puts looks at the better side of things.
Yeah, I tend to do that on the whole. I think you have to if you're an actor or if you're a performer of any kind. I mean, we're often not, we're often depressives, to be honest. And I can be, I'm sure my wife will say I can be a moody bugger a lot of the time, but yeah, I've got to try. We've got to try, haven't we?
Yes,
we have got to try.
Shall we give it a go? Cheers
everyone.
Cheers.
Lovely to be here with you.
Lovely to have you. That's fruity.
What are you thinking?
Fruity.
Very smooth, isn't it? Very smooth. And actually the cork hasn't affected it at all, Paul.
No,
I'm looking at the legs.
The legs on it. Look at the legs on it. You know something about wine then. Tell me about the legs, Sally.
We pretend we know everything about wine. That's what we do. We look at that. We've learned all the right words. That's all I'm saying.
How deep is the punt on your bottle? Because it's...
I like the punt, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's deep.
Ooh. Did you ever, either of you, do waitressing in between jobs? I mean... Oh, God, it was awful having to do the posher the do, the ruder the people were on the whole. But I do remember being told to stick my thumb in the thing and serve it like that. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I do, but I never did it because I just thought it's probably better for everyone that I don't do this because the wine's going to go everywhere. So I might look like I don't know what I'm doing as a waiter, but in the long run, they'll all be happier.
My first waitressing job, I worked in a pub called the Bull and Butcher in Turville. I mean, it's where Vicar of Dibley's filmed. It's where loads of things were filmed. Killing Eve, thank you. And Chitty Bang Bang, top of the windmill was at the top of the hill. Anyway, that's by the by.
Wouldn't it be awful if all these TV shows you were naming were shows that neither Paul or I passed the auditions for? You were just reeling off a whole load of
just load to rub it in.
Just
to rub it in. We were like, really angry.
Oh, another one.
Just to rub that in. Anyway, while I was working as a waitress, not as an actor in that pub, I spilt a pint in somebody's lap on my first day and then I was never allowed back out. I had to do the washing up. So I was never a successful waiter at all.
Yeah.
Were you any good, Paul?
Well, I was an idiot because me and my mate Baz, when we were at drama school at Central back in the sort of early 90s, we worked at the Royal Academy of Arts. And that sounds really posh, but of course it was semi-self-service. So we got bugger all tips and really low wages, but we just shoved our faces full of food and we get our friends to come in and we pretend to ring it through the till,
yes,
and just give them basically full slap up meals for about 50p.
Well done. Yes. It was, get something out of it, of course.
Yeah, I know. But I did do waitering, and I did do what for one night only silver service, and it was absolutely terrifying.
Oh my God,
I think it was a bunch of kind of Tory grandees or something. It already felt tense and I'd never done it before. My friend blagged me in and into getting the job that night. And I literally spilled some new potatoes over some lady. It was just awful, awful. Awful.
Serving hot food on cold plates and things by mistake. I used to do things like that. People go, it's a cold plate, and I go, nobody told me. Like, it was never my fault. It was always
and that thing
else.
With the spoon and the spoon and the fork you're supposed to do, where like crab claws, where you hold them together in one hand to serve stuff. No, not for me. So,
were you ever tempted to just drink through it? Were you?
Oh yes, I think we used to have sneaky swigs of the champagne. I mean, you've got to. It's part a perk of the job, haven't you?
Did you used to pretend? We used to pretend that we'd smash bottles of champagne. Like when, you know, if I was duty, sometimes they let me be duty manager, and I'd go, I'm so sorry, a bottle of champagne got smashed last night, and we were like all hungover the next day, telling people we'd just been drinking everything. Why wouldn't you? You're in your 20s. You've got no responsibilities.
Oh,
you've just got the rent to meet, and let's just have some fun. Miserable job.
Mind sweeping off the table. Yeah. Smashing bottles. Paul, I think I love you even more now, because I thought, he's so cute and lovely, but actually you're a terror. You're a terror, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, having listened to some of your guests, I wouldn't go that far, because they've got some tales to tell.
You must have some drunken stories.
I'm 52 now. I'll be 53 in a few weeks. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Is the correct response.
I went to drama school as well.
Thank you. The Oscar goes to. If I'm honest, as I said at the beginning, you got me drinking on a Monday night. I actually, for a number of years now, have sort of forced myself, because I had to, I've forced myself to sort of not drink in the week, and then I'll have a bottle or two of wine at the weekend, and that's lovely, just because I found it was getting a bit out of hand, to be honest.
Yeah.
But in my youth, yes, of course. I mean, like many of my friends, we caned it, and you know, coming out of drama school, so I went to university and then drama school, but coming out of drama school, particularly in the early mid-90s, there was a big party culture in Soho. Soho House had just opened and someone had blagged their way into free membership. So about 20 of us would kind of get in for free. And it lasted for about 5 years of getting in for free at Soho House and, you know, and just kind of just going crazy for a few years. I had to say, it didn't really suit me, because I think I'm essentially quite square and a bit of a homebody. But I did give it a go. I gave it a good go for
good
a few
on
years.
You. What was your drink of choice at Soho House?
Oh, I think vodka tonics back then.
I like vodka tonic. You had forgotten all about a vodka tonic.
Vodka tonics, quite clean, kind of, you know. And to be honest, though, you know, in your 20s, you can handle it. I mean, what's happened since, I don't know about both of you, but there are two things. One, the hangovers are absolutely, utterly appalling. And the other is, this is where my middle age comes in. I get up to the loo all night.
Paul, you need a catheter fitting.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
Or just something under the bed, one of those bowls under the bed.
Yes.
We're here to help. We're here to help, Paul. We're pretending we're comedians, but we're
nurses. I've got a bedpan. I've got one.
Bloody brilliant idea.
She has.
Please do.
Oh, I normally put plants in it, but for you, Paul, you can have my bedpan.
Lou used to have a commode with plants in, didn't you, in your living room?
It's outside. It's outside.
Oh, you've got rid of that now, have you?
You're a woman of style. That doesn't surprise me, Lou.
You'll get her tits out in a minute, Paul.
I will not. Well, I can't, because I've actually, if I did get them out now, you wouldn't see them anyway, because I'm not wearing a bra. And look. Woo! Just flashed you. Can't see them because they're under the table.
Actually, Paul, talking of vodka, did you ever do the vodka Red Bull? Did you ever go through that phase?
No, couldn't bear Red Bull. I mean, it tasted like, you know, I mean, chemical urine or something. I mean, to me, it's hideous. Hideous. Never got it.
I did a night on it once and it was just, and I couldn't sleep. I mean, I didn't realise quite how much caffeine, and I was staying at a friend's house and it was my friend, and he didn't have anything to do while I, you know, like, you know, not even like, didn't know how to do work the telly. It was 4 o'clock in the morning and I was up because on this Red Bull, and I thought, never again. So I'm with you on that.
It's the raver's favourite, isn't it? Yeah. I remember in that whole kind of club culture scene, again, which I barely dipped into, that was, you know, it was among, you'd mix it with other things, let's be honest, wouldn't you, to keep you going.
When I was, here we go, Sally, is another boring story for you.
Is it Portugal?
Yes, it is Portugal. When I worked in Portugal, I was a hotel entertainer, Paul, because I was, you know, I went to drama school and I was so successful, I became a hotel entertainer. And this is how I relate to the guests, Sally. And
you just bore them.
Yeah. And we basically, we had like four hours off a day, basically. And to get us through, it was vodka, Red Bull, and port and lemon. And oh my God, but it was like,
lemon.
Yeah, because you're in Portugal. So it's like port and lemonade.
Everything cheap as chips, I bet.
Yeah, everything was free. But to get you through it, vodka, Red Bull. Oh, and now if I smell it, I'm like, I can't. And it was Southern Comfort as well, wasn't it? Vodka, Southern Comfort and Red Bull.
Quite sweet. Well, a lot of sweet flavours there.
Yeah. What was your training drink then? So when you were, little Paul was growing up and he's going, oh, I'm going to practice drinking. What was your practice?
Set the scene, Paul. Where did you grow up?
Take us on a journey. Yeah.
Well, so I was born in Iran. My dad's Iranian, was Iranian, died. But I grew up. I came over to Oxford when I was one and grew up in Oxford, really.
So did I. Okay.
Did you?
Somebody else with an Oxford connection. Sorry,
that's where I went to drama school.
All roads lead to Oxford. Yeah, so I grew up in a part of Oxford called Summertown, if you know that.
Oh, I know. I went to school there, Paul. I got pissed in Summertown. Oh, I went to school.
Blimey. Yeah. There you go. What a small world. Yes, I grew up there and I don't think I really discovered alcohol until I was 14, I'd say. And
quite late, Paul.
Late. I think I have a very strong memory.
Sitting there with a brandy.
Well, it's a bit worrying because I think the first thing I remember getting really, really drunk on, to the point of vomiting violently and never being able to touch it again, was I think it's called a screwdriver, isn't it? Yes. Vodka and orange juice.
Yes.
Yeah. Vodka and orange.
So, vodka and orange. So me and I can tell you this, I'm sure it won't embarrass him, but old Parker, who is now a big film director and married to Thandi Way Newton, anyway, got absolutely wrecked at the age of 14. And I remember walking round and round the block of houses round there and just going, you know, you're my best friend forever. Love you. Then vomiting violently, not remembering a thing I'd said. And honestly, I could not touch vodka and orange juice for another 20 years. It was that profound, the effect it had on me. It made me want to retch, you know, every time I felt it, smelt it. But
I blame the orange juice because if it was that concentrate stuff, then you'll have had too much of that. It won't be the vodka, Paul. Get back on it. Get some fresh orange.
I remember talking of orange juice. I remember working in a restaurant, back to the restaurant thing, and we used to serve Mr. Juicy orange juice. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. And I was pouring it, and the customers could see me pouring it. And I remember my colleague going, pour it under the counter, Sally. Let's not let anybody know we charge £1.50 for a glass of Mr. Juicy. The poor man's orange juice. Vodka and orange juice is very, it's an 80s drink, is it? Would you say?
You see, and that I think is absolutely right. It was just one of those things that we'd heard about. We thought, oh, yeah, let's do that. That's a grown-up thing. And, you know, vodka you could sort of get hold of and mix and, oh, God, it's, you know, oh, it's awful. But anyway, yeah, God knows how much of that stuff I imbibed.
What did you advance onto then after that?
So we got vodka and orange, but you've painted a beautiful scene.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I kind of, do you know what? I would go to parties drink as much as I like. You know what it's like. Up until, I'd say, sort of mid-20s or late-20s, you can drink what you like and you're fine the next day. Yeah. It's absolutely extraordinary. And then some switch goes and then it's not a good thing anymore. But it took me 20 years to realise that.
Yeah. finally, I still haven't reached that point, no. Paul. Still haven't reached that point.
Cheers. 20 years.
Lockdown was an eye opener. Cheers, everyone.
Yeah, cheers on this red wine.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So you'll have lots of drunk stories then. So your first...
Drama school. Oh, no, hang on a minute. We're only at, like, school years at the moment, aren't we? Let's work on a bit. So what happened after... I mean, are there any drunk stories at school anymore? We've had the vodka and orange.
Well, school was on and off. We'd sneak off at the weekends and, you know, try and get as hammered as possible. And, you know, everyone would try and nick something from their parents' house and bring it along as the offering in the centre of the field, wherever we were gathering. And then in Oxford, and then university was next. So university, it kind of had a veneer of being a bit more civilized because you were throwing parties and trying to pretend you were an adult.
Which but uni was this?
Which uni? This was Cambridge. So I went to Cambridge, and I know, was more surprised
from
than
Oxford.
Me. Yes. Well, of course. The one thing I knew about that I didn't want to happen was to be caught throwing up in between cars in Oxford by my parents.
No.
So yeah, it could have been anywhere other than Oxford. So anyway,
very
I had to get out.
To choose your university based on that.
You got to get so alcohol played a part in that.
I didn't want to do that course, but.
So you're at a posh university throwing up in between cars in Cambridge. Yeah. So what exactly were you throwing up, Paul?
Well, so I can't remember. I was not. I'd drink at the parties and then not drink all week. You know, it's funny. I could take it or leave it. So I kind of discovered beer a bit more then. Although I always found that, you know, the volume of liquid you take in was a bit of a problem. And I'd feel a bit like, sorry, that. So it'd still be spirits. And then I sort of found out about wine, obviously really bad wine, like Thunderbird and stuff like that. You know, the cheapest possible, basically, because no one cared back then. But I do remember going to throwing a party with two other friends and it was tequila based.
Oh,
and that was another staging post where things went wrong, and basically the tequila is such a specific smell and taste, isn't it? And it's delightful until you reach that tipping point.
Yeah.
And again, violently ill. My friend, I remember, who threw it with me, we went back to someone's flat, the party continued, and she threw up in the person's cafetiere. And all I remember is her going,
no,
putting the plunger down.
No.
So basically, it was a cafetiere of sieved bile.
No.
And leaving that person's flat and never saying anything about it ever again. Again, couldn't drink tequila for another 10 years. So it put me right off margaritas, which I loved. You know, I love now, but, you know, back then.
Oh, we love margaritas. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So that's Cambridge. That was university when you're being an adult, when you're pretending to be an adult. You're not, of course, are you?
No way.
Did you do the punting in Cambridge and drink the Pims on the punts?
I did do punting. I wasn't a Pims kind of drinker, really. I mean, I kind of got into my acting quite seriously there. And
well, you did as if we're getting serious now.
No, nothing serious.
What was your chosen study at uni then? Was it dramary type things or was it something?
No.
What was it?
It was. I should be a spy, really, but it was Arabic and Persian.
Oh.
There we go. That's silenced everyone.
That's very interesting.
I studied languages.
Oh, really?
Do you speak Farsi then? I guess you do.
I do. I spoke that anyway, but I didn't speak any
Arabic.
Well,
slightly cheating then. So you went there already
through the back door. Why do you think how do you think I got in? That's clearly not good enough. but no, I didn't know any Arabic and I studied. And what was brilliant about it is you got a year abroad in an Arab country of your choosing.
Wow.
And it wasn't like most organized courses in most, even in other departments at the university there or any other university. It was like something from the 1930s. The lecturer would come, your professor would come and talk to you about where you wanted to go. You just choose. And he, literally over a glass of sherry, would say, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I think I'll go to Cairo. So I just plumped for Cairo because it's a great city and a brilliant place to study Arabic and live. And he said, oh, great. Well, you know, hopefully your Arabic might be a bit better. And it certainly won't be any worse because we've nearly chucked you out because you were doing too much drama. I'll see you in a year. You know, and that was it. So my friends who were doing modern languages, other languages, at the university there were at Cambridge were being monitored all the time and told exactly where they had to be every month, you know, and they had no freedom. And I just disappeared into Cairo and I kind of just did my own thing for a year.
Do you
amazing.
Know what? You have got a look of Poirot about you. And I can see it. Was it death?
Oui, madame.
Oui, oh, hello. Death on the Nile or something like that, isn't it?
Yes,
oh, my
yes,
God. I can yes. see you doing yes. that. Or having your little drinky poo. Oui? Your aperitif.
Today with Amazon Business, Shannon Stuckey of Walburn Woodworking helped her team buy 63 circular saws.
Okay, Andy, take it easy.
Now she uses her time to focus on growing something big. Buy smarter, dream bigger. Visit Amazon Business, your partner for smart business buying.
What did you drink in Cairo then? Because did they have alcohol over
Yeah,
there?
They did. Well, they well grew chosen. Their own beer. Brew their own beer there. And the Christian community is quite a big minority. They're the Copts, they're called. Ooh. And they brew the beer. And they had very cheap, rather good beer called Stella, not like our Stella. And it came in these enormous, like, 2-pint bottles. And you just get a whole load of them for virtually nothing. And back then, I was on a full grant, you know, when grants existed. So I was living really well out in Cairo because a full grant, British grant was, you know, it went a long way. So we'd be going out every night.
Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because our Sleep Number 360 smart bed is really smart. It senses your movement and automatically adjusts to help keep you both comfortable. Plus, it's temperature balancing, so you stay cool. It's even smart enough to know exactly how long, how well, and when you slept. Our smart sleepers get 28 minutes more restful sleep per night. Sleep Number takes care of the science. All you have to do is sleep. Don't miss our weekend special where all smart beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Finding bars here, there, and everywhere, and little hangouts, and going to each other's flats all over the city. I mean, I hung out with a bunch of students from all over the world, and you'd be burning the midnight oil in somewhere like Cairo was amazing, or going to the desert, you know, four or 5 days to the oases there. It was brilliant. I can't believe I did it, really, if I'm honest. I know. It feels
very much the same, because when I was around that age, I used to go to the Isle of Wight.
Oh, here we go.
Very similar, Paul. No. Oh,
strap in. There's going to be something.
No, there's no story. I just, again, it's me connecting with the guests.
You are connecting. Do you know what? I think we were laughing in a kind of semi-mocking way about that, but that is not fair, because my wife has been badgering me to go to the Isle of Wight on holiday because she says it's absolutely lovely. Is that true?
It's lovely now, isn't it? But was it then? I mean, it's sort of the Isle of Wight's sort of I think it's quite a bohemian place now, isn't it? The Isle of Wight. Am I right?
Well, I don't know. I was there last weekend, Paul. I was there for a day, and what I saw was beautiful. The ferry trip was lovely over. The ferry trip was lovely back. What I remember as a child or a teenager was that we used to hang out in a place called Black Gang Chine.
Yes, strange name.
Yeah.
Wicker Man. No?
Yeah. And that's all I can tell you. And there's a place called The Needles, which has got different coloured sands. That's
nothing
all
to
I
do with heroin.
What I'd suggest, Paul, is that your wife, perhaps, I'd go somewhere else first. And if you
maybe
can't,
Greece.
Yeah, just sort of a package holiday, all inclusive with the sun shining, guaranteed sunshine.
Oh, that seems like a fantasy now, doesn't it?
Oh, Paul, if you could go anywhere now, A, where would you go and what would be your cocktail of choice?
Oh, now you're talking. Just thinking about that makes me feel all relaxed and nice and warm inside.
That's the sea.
Oh, yeah. So it would be by the sea.
Sally, you can be the seaweed.
Yeah, but there's no noise in that, is there?
Good.
I'm loving you. No one can see this, but you're doing some marvellous seaweed slash jellyfish acting.
And also I'm copying Lou, like she's leading the way. That's what seaweed is.
This is what you do at drama school, Sally.
Yeah. Just shout.
I feel better. Oh, I'd love to be abroad. To be honest, anywhere right now would be amazing. Well, I tell you where I loved, me and my wife went, was Crete. That was lovely, if you've ever been there.
It's really gorgeous. What do you drink in Crete?
What's the Greek drink? Oh, ouzo.
Ouzo.
Don't know about you. I cannot abide ouzo. It's a funny one. Aniseed.
Have you had a time on it?
I haven't. It's just I've taken against it. I would drink the Retsina. I would drink the red wine, and I would drink virtually anything else there that's cold.
But you'll get quite angry if they bring...
Nice glass of rosé.
What do you reckon? Would you get quite angry if they bring you over the ouzo then? Do you know, sometimes they bring it over, don't they? The little drinks at the end with the bill. You know, they
like
bring
the limoncello in an Italian restaurant.
Yeah. Always seems like a really good idea at the time, doesn't it? And you go, we're on holiday. Yeah. And then you go, and it's horrific. But we've all got a bottle of it
at home that we've brought in duty free because we got.
And it never tastes as good when you're not in the country. You've got to have it in the country.
Sunshine, absolutely. Oh, Lou's got a question. She took.
I was going to say because that was a loose link there again, Sally. Because I'm CEO today, Paul. I'm very much in control.
She really is milking it. I'll be honest.
I can sense it. I'm enjoying it
because. We've been doing this podcast a long time, and Sally self-appointed herself a CEO. And today, I get to be that just for one day, so I will dictate. Sally, we didn't get a cocktail from Paul, but perhaps we could have a cocktail that we would give to a listener, perhaps.
Oh, we've got a listener story. Shall I read the listener story?
Pour yourself another glass, Paul, and listen up.
Okay, here we go. This is from Kirsty. Hello, Kirsty. Oh. And I'm going to read it as she typed it to us. It's relatively long. Feel free to chip in. I'm just warning people. Okay.
Can I just say, if people do email in their stories, could you check your grammar before? Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
I agree with that.
Yes. Go ahead, Sally.
And the content. Anyway, this is Kirsty. I'm talking for Kirsty here.
Thank you.
I was on holiday in New York with friends a few years ago, and we decided to go to a rooftop bar for drinks before two of us were going off to dinner and then the theatre in the evening. We started off drinking margaritas, and the bar had a deal where if you tagged them on social media, you could get a free round of shots. So we did that and ended up with lots of shots each of tequila, along with many, many margaritas. Already a lot of booze here. I knew we'd gone over the sober threshold when one of my friends suddenly started crying for absolutely no reason and saying how much she loved us. And then I ended up overpaying for the drinks we'd had because I was too drunk to work out the US tip. Two of us went to get dinner at a Chick-fil-A. We ordered, then just went and sat at a table where a family were already eating. We didn't ask permission, just made ourselves at home. We tried to share our dinner with them, and then we had a nap.
That's amazing.
It's not even finished.
Oh, is it not?
No, hang on. When we woke up, they're still in the restaurant, I might add, we went to the loo. My friend was in there for a while, so I went into her cubicle. She got up, fell over, and vomited everywhere. And earlier that day, she'd been eating red velvet cheesecake.
Oh, no.
She got bright pink vomit on every piece of clothing she was wearing, including my new coat, and covered my shoes and bag too, as well as the white top she was wearing. I was clearly drunk and found it hilarious, so I tried to clear it up, but it was one of those loo roll dispensers which only let you take one piece at a time. She then started crying and asked for her mum. I eventually got her cleaned up as best as drunken me could manage, and we tried to get an Uber. No Uber driver would take us as we were covered in vomit.
Oh my God.
Just as we got back to the hotel and I was bundling her into the shower and throwing away my brand new coat, no amount of washing could get the smell of red velvet out, I had a call from the theatre saying our tickets were ready. We never did see that show. I still can't look at red velvet cheesecake without feeling a bit like vomiting, and I still miss that coat. And that's Kirsty's story.
Kirsty,
that was
well
a
done.
Triumph. That was a triumph.
We well got told. Told by Kirsty as well.
Oh, it was brilliant.
Her type
beautifully,
there.
Beautifully written. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have to name Kirsty of wherever she's from. I'm going to call her Red Velvet Cheesecake. That's the cocktail. She'll have in the cocktail. She's got the tequila. She's got the margarita. She's got. Yeah. Double shots of tequila in the margarita.
Some tears. You've got to have some tears.
She'll have some grenadine in there to make it red.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, Kirsty. What a triumph. Kirsty, the red velvet cheesecake woman. Fabulous.
Total respect.
Lou
and I eventually, Paul, are going to open our own bar.
Yeah.
And
ooh,
we're
going to
have
please?
All these.
Yes.
Oh, yes. And we're going to have a chain. We're going to have all these drinks available on the menu. Yeah. And we're going to have one for you as well, Paul.
Yeah. Ooh, lovely. Well, can I say what I love? But again, I just, it's so dangerous for me because I always seem to go for it when I'm on a night out in a nice restaurant or something where they do them, is a vodka martini, which is pure alcohol.
Yeah, I don't think I've had one. Is
well,
it delicious?
Basically, yeah, it is delicious. Mm. It's you either like that kind of thing or you don't. But basically, it's like a drop of vermouth in the glass and then ice cold vodka and either an olive, but I prefer a little lemon peel in it. And apparently you're supposed to squeeze the lemon peel so the oils are released onto the surface of the glass. So it has just the merest hint of citrus oil.
Do you know what?
It's delicious.
The Chahidi martini.
Oh, she's it's like she's
feel
been,
very
she's
important
been,
suddenly.
She's very into the spiritual world and she's very into the other world, Paul, just so you know. And I feel like she's been possessed. I can feel it.
Something's coming through.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Well, I just passed that. I'm done. I think are you a fan of pink grapefruit, Paul?
Yes, very much like
I
it.
I think.
Oh, where's she going with this?
The Chahidi martini, we do a twist of pink grapefruit around the glass.
Yes.
I've given myself goosebumps. No, that's it, Sally. It doesn't. Oh. Paul is
you
a very.
You sometimes don't need to embellish things, Sally.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. The Chahidi martini is a vodka
martini.
Yes.
It also sounds incredibly camp, which is very much at my speed.
Yes. Oh,
definitely.
We were all surprised when you said you had children.
Cheers to that.
Cheers.
None more so than my wife. I think, I'm the last of the camp heteros. Yeah, here we go.
Cheers. Here's to the Chahidi martini. Chahidi martini with the.
Say that after a few Chahidi
martinis. No, I can't. we've got to meet up now. We've got to have one of these things.
Well, do you know what? I was looking you both up and I was going, I haven't seen them. Like, I haven't been to a live comedy gig for a while. And I thought, I'll make a promise to myself, I'll come and see you both. And when I do, then let's get together for a drink.
Definitely. Yes, we were gigging
together.
Let's put
these theories to the test.
Yeah, we were gigging together last night, Paul. How old are your children? So you've got a 9-year-old and...
I've only got one. He's 9 and he's about to be 10, a 9-year-old boy. Yeah.
Okay. We were gigging together yesterday and there was a festival and there was a lot of kids running around, despite the fact we told their parents not to come in. And Sally
inappropriate material.
Very inappropriate.
Sally is a bit of an ass when it comes to kids and to like you don't have you're not a patient person, but you dealt with those children. Very
I like
well
children
yesterday.
Though. I like children. I find them very much. I find them fun. And if you can be on the child side and just have fun with the children, you'll get a lot of mileage out of kids because they're always generally very funny.
Yeah. Very fun. I went on stage, Paul, and my opening line was pointing at the children, saying, "You are the reason I let my boyfriend come on my tits."
Oh, you've crashed, Paul. Or is that just silence?
Well, he's all I was doing was laughing.
It's like you were really judging.
I'm back. I'm
really
back.
Judging her. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to go now.
That's it.
Yeah, so
I've turned to the vicar.
What I'm going to say is don't bring your kid with you if we go for drinks. Because
However, what happened after that? Was there a deathly silence or were people like, yeah, that's cool?
I think they loved it. And then a few people complained about the C word. I didn't use the C word at that point, but it was somebody else. But it was, you know, sod it.
The thing is, it was in the past and it's not a gig that Paul can come to, really, is it? What Paul can come to is the Podfest on the...
What's that?
Is it Friday the 10th of September, 9:30 at King's Place? Lou and I are doing a live show.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's in London.
London.
Online or
in real life.
In real life, touching.
IRL. Yeah. IRL, in real life.
Yeah.
IRL, my friends.
Yeah. Just throw that in the IRL. And also, should we just quickly, because we have to... we have to do a shout out to our Patreon. We have a Patreon page, Paul. Sorry, just to jump in here. And Lou, as a CEO, is going to say the name of one of our wonderful Patreons.
I think I'm going to let you do that.
Are you, Lou? Are you?
Anna
really?
Hart.
Yeah, Anna Hart. That's
oh, my God. I plucked that out of my arsehole because I haven't got it written down. But I, yes. Anna Hart.
And we're,
there you go.
And also, her cocktail, we already decided it's going to be called the Heart to Heart, isn't it?
Yes.
We decided.
Yeah.
I decided.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's in it, Lou?
Grenadine, Aperol, and pink fizz.
Lovely. That's the heart to heart. So we've got the Chahidi martini, we've got the heart to heart. We are nailing.
And the red velvet cheesecake.
Oh, yes.
We're all set.
Yes. Oh, Paul, I want to go out with you now. Come on. Yeah.
And we've got the Oxford connection. We can start, you know, chanting Oxford.
Yeah, we can do the Turf Tavern to start with, can't we?
Yes.
No, I did one at Summers. What's the Dewdrop, isn't it?
The Dewdrop. Do you know, so a story, I used to pull pints there when I was at drama school for a summer. And it was the local pub of Colin Dexter, who wrote Endeavour and Morse and all of that.
No, you could have been in that.
I know.
He's telling him about jobs he hasn't got.
Oh, but he looks like Poirot, so it's God, you can't be a detective.
Yeah, you can't be. Yeah, you're right.
Do you know, I actually went up for a part in Poirot. You've just reminded me. I had one meeting for a part in Poirot. Okay, and at the end of the meeting, the bloody producer said, only half jokingly, I realised afterwards, actually, it was the case, because some people had said this to me before. He said, of course, you're never going to get the part because you look very similar to David Suchet. Some minor spear-carrying role in the background. And I thought he was joking. And then my wife went, no, you do look a bit like him in a certain light. And... never got it, of course.
Can I just say though, Paul, actually, while I sort of take the piss slightly out of actors waiting for jobs and stuff like we all do, but I think you're a fantastic actor. Can I just say that?
Well, thank you. That's really kind.
And I, this country, what a fantastic performance, what a fantastic series. Just wonderful. I loved it.
Thank you very much.
No, you're what? Yeah.
Thank you, Sunny.
I'll lose nothing now.
Well, thank you.
You're highly talented.
If we do meet you in IRL. Will you come dressed as the vicar?
I could easily do that. Do you know, I could. All it requires is a little slip of paper across my done-up collar and Bob, a ton oncle.
You could do it.
Wee wee, Monge 2.
We can speak French and Arabic.
She's got amour written across her chest.
Oh, Paul, I think it's probably time for the penultimate question, isn't it?
Oh,
this has been a joy. I know.
Goodness, I've loved it.
We've loved it.
I tell you what, Paul, as the CEO...
standing in, temporary, all those words beforehand.
I'd like to say, Paul, as the CEO... with you this evening, it's worth it for the blue tongue.
She has got a blue tongue.
Yeah,
how's mine?
No, you haven't got one.
Yours
why have
is
I
much
got
bluer.
A blue tongue?
Really blue.
I don't know why I've got that. Anyway, Paul Chahidi Martini.
Hey.
Let's imagine you've got a spittoon, right? A spittoon in front
not
of you.
Not under your bed, not with your late night wheezing.
No, not with your late night wheezing.
Well,
unless... Yeah. You know, whatever. People might be into weird things, Sally. Mm. Yeah, you've got your booze rouge, by the way, Sally, but I had to point that out to the CEO. You've got your spittoon in front of you, and it's got the shrapnel from somebody's mouth.
Oh, my God.
Paul. Yes. Yes, Paul.
You can pray to God, Paul.
Stay with us.
You can pray to God, but you've not got the paper around
your neck. For the listeners here listening, Paul has got his head in his hands at the moment, and he's shaking his head with...
You know what's coming, Paul. Whose spittoon would you drink? Thank you.
I mean, how many of your guests have said I'd never do that in real life?
None of them. They've all ploughed right in.
Yes.
Okay. It has to. I think it has to be someone I am in love with in some way, and or deem very pure.
Right.
And
well, thank you.
Pure, Sally. Pure.
I think it would have to be. Judi Dench. Sorry, I'm just going to go for that. I just feel like if I did, I would be a better person afterwards. Do you know what I mean? By osmosis or something, you know, I might actually get some of her acting juice inside me.
Some of her DNA.
At the end of it.
Yeah.
Through the veins from the boo.
Nothing bad can come of that. Do you know what I mean? Nothing bad can come of that. Judy, I've worked with 3 times, and I was at drama school with her daughter, Finty, who's wonderful.
Clunk.
There we go. Boom. Sorry about that. Now you think I'm an absolute.
No!
Sorry.
I went to drama school with somebody that had a walk on part in Coronation Street.
Well done.
Thank you.
That's all you need. That is all you need to get started in this profession.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
That's a great answer, by the way. And what I loved is when you said nothing could go wrong with drinking Judi Dench's spittoon. Nothing could go wrong with that. I thought, yeah, you're right. Actually, nothing could go wrong, could it? It wouldn't be like, you know, there's no risk involved in drinking Judi Dench's spittoon.
Do you know what? You took me back to the Marigold Hotel. Judy was in that, and for a second I was in the courtyard of that hotel drinking Judy's spittoon in the heat with the spices coming up with the my goodness, you've taken me on a journey today, Paul.
Lou, you have come full circle, because I believe the Marigold Hotel, one of them was directed by Ol Parker, who was the person I drank the screwdriver with. This is a little hint of what our evening together would be like.
We're coming round now.
Come on over.
Oh, brilliant.
Now, is the drink a spit or a swallow? We often forget to say this. We've done everything today, Lou. We've done the cocktail nose, we've done the spittoon, and now is it a spit or a swallow? Let's decide.
It's almost like we're professional. I'm just going in for another glass just to check.
Do you know what? I'm going to guess what yours is, Lou. I think it might be a spit. Oh, no, it's a swallow. It's a swallow from me. I can tell it's a swallow. But also, you just drank it like it was Ribena then, may I say.
In a way, it is, because of the blackcurranty notes.
Good sign.
It's a swallow from me. That is a lovely wine. Oh, my God. It's a Produit de France as well. So
Very reliable. You'll very rarely go wrong with that particular type of Rhone wine. Or Côte du Rhone, I think it's best value red wine from France.
Delicious.
You get, really.
Paul, Chahidi Martini, you have been an absolute delight. Cheers.
Wonderful. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers to you both, Sally and Lou. What a joy.
I can't wait for IRL.
I can't wait for IRL and much jollity.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Amanda Redman.
If you want to get in touch with what you thought about the wines that we've tried, or recommendations of your own, or you feel like sharing your worst drunken story with us, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we're at Lou and Sally.
Facebook is Spit or Swallow Podcast.
Or email us at spitorswallowpodcast34@gmail.com.
And if you want to support the podcast, then go to www.patreon.com/spitorswallowpodcast.
Thanks to Audio Boom for hosting us, but most of all, thanks to you for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time. Bye.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it. But nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
Progressive knows that most people don't get to experience making a game-winning touchdown or a walk-off home run. So we're going to talk to you like you did something great so you can bask in the glory.
Oh, man, I was there. That time that you bundled your home, auto, motorcycle, and other vehicles with Progressive, that was awesome. People were freaking out. I bet you get this all the time, but can I get an autograph?
If you can't bask in sports glory, at least you can bask in the glory of saving money when you bundle your home and other vehicles with Progressive. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Amanda Redman.
If you want to get in touch with us about what you thought about the drinks that we've tried, or recommendations of your own, or you feel like sharing your worst drunken story with us, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we are at Lou and Sally. Facebook and TikTok is Spit or Swallow Podcast. Or email us at spitorswallowpodcast34, that's the numbers 34, at gmail.com.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, then please subscribe and leave us a review, because this helps other people find us.
And if you want to support the podcast, then go to www.patreon.com/spitorswallowpodcast, where you can find some bonus content.
Thanks to Acast for hosting us, but most of all, thanks to you lot for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time.
Bye!